join Tim and Christina Madden, co-founders of Executive Career Upgrades, on their podcast, The Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. As an executive in today's highly competitive job market, it can be tough to succeed. However, with Tim's nationally recognized career advice and Christina's mindset expertise, you can reach your full potential. Tune in to upgrade your career and get ahead of the competition.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. We have an incredible guest that you see on the screen there, Natalie Dawson, the one and only. I am so excited. I actually think of all the guests I've had, this particular topic and her expertise might be the most valuable for our specific client and audience. So I'm super excited to be able to deliver this and connect with you, Natalie. I hear you always talk about like your embarrassing obsession with Elena Cardone. And I've kind of had like a little bit of an embarrassing obsession with you, Natalie. So I'm just excited that you're here. You guys, she has impacted my life in more ways than one. I've been in the Cardone environment for nearly 10 years, but when Brandon and Natalie partnered with them and launched Cardone Ventures, I was just so grateful because while I know how to sell and get customers, I wasn't, you know, an expert in business and people and scaling. And so she's definitely had an impact on my life in so many different ways. And I was talking to a team member this morning. She's like, oh my God, Natalie Dawson, I watch her get readies with me. And I just love her so much. So just thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to do this. And I understand the awkwardness and weirdness when you've like totally stalked somebody and know everything about them. And then all of a sudden you're just like talking and, you know everything about the person, but it's fine. It's normal. This is the world we live in 2024. It's an interesting thing with social media.
It is. It's so funny. And then I've been to most of your workshops and everything. So if you guys don't know, she is the co-founder and president of Cardone Ventures, but also the president of 10X Health System. So not only does she want to help you scale your business, but she also wants to keep you healthy. Right. I think Christy is dropping the link in our chat for the gene test and all the cutting edge amazing things they're doing in 10X Health. And it's so important for our leaders and you know, a lot of our clients and listeners struggle with fatigue and burnout. And so I wanted to make sure that they had access to that information. But we are here to talk about your book. Congratulations. I'm on your pre-order list, which I think, guys, also that link is in the comments. If you're on LinkedIn watching live, definitely get on the pre-order list. But yes, welcome to the show. And how are you? What are you up to today?
Well, today is just a normal Wednesday at Cardone Ventures. We kick off the day with our winning Wednesday stats, which that meeting just ended. And we're doing a lot of prep in order to get ready for the book launch. And we fly to Florida tomorrow morning, first thing, to be able to get there and prep and make sure everything's going great for that event that's happening on Saturday.
Awesome. Winning Wednesday. Well, it's warm down here in Florida. I think my temperature on my car is at 118 degrees inside my car this morning. I'm like, what is happening?
Wow.
But listen, so with as busy as you are and all the things you do and all the travel and you have, you know, an amazing marriage, a huge team, tell me, how did you make time for this book? So I wanted to dig into a little bit, like, what was your process and just the driving force for you behind this book? How did you get it done?
You know, I wrote Teamwork, my first book, in 12 days, and it was very important to me once I heard Grant say this phrase that changed my perspective on book writing forever. He said, the goal is not to write a book. The goal is to finish a book. Mm-hmm. And most people, when they have a goal, they just think about the goal. Like, my goal is to work out. Well, no, your goal is probably actually to have a six pack. It's not to work out. So how are you optimizing for the result versus thinking that you have to get stuck in the process? And so for Teamwork, I was able to knock it out. I just locked myself in a room and wrote the book. For Start the Work, I was planning on doing the exact same thing. And it's funny that you bring up 10X Health, because when I decided to launch Start the Work, it was before I stepped into that role. And that was in the fall of 2022. And I was like, okay, I'm going to write this book. I'm going to do the same thing I did with teamwork. It's going to get done in a very short amount of time. And then I did in December of 2022 step in as interim president of 10X Health. And that experience just rocked my world. And the book that I thought I was going to write was an entirely different book after that new set of experiences. And so I think it's important for people when they're thinking about their experiences, the things that are hard, but, and by the way, when I say experience, I'm not like, oh, this wonderful, fantastic, easy, beautiful experience. No, it's like getting punched in the stomach and kicked in the face all at the same time over and over again, because we've had so much growth that's taken place, and with growth comes a lot of problems. And so I wrote the book first in that like short little time frame and put a pause on the entire project for about a year until everything at 10X Health was stabilized. And now I've been able to rework the book, which is why it took almost a year and a half to finish the book instead of write the book. But I'm really thankful for those lessons, because the book is, not to be cliche, but 10 times better than it was before, because it's just there's a different lens that I now have and a different set of experiences. And so I think when executives are going through challenges where maybe they're not finding the work that they're looking for, maybe they're in a job that they actually don't like, how can you use the thing that really sucks as, what if I was going to write a book one day? How would I use this as a story, and how do I handle this situation so that I can create a story that I would want to tell, instead of what a lot of people do is they don't respond to negative things very well in the moment. And then they have no story to be proud of, because they aren't proud of the decisions that they made, or the way that they handled, the way that they transitioned, the way that they onboarded. And so if you can really look at those experiences as ways to help you in the future write a book, and who shouldn't live a life that is worthy of writing a book, right? That should be a goal for everybody. I lived my life in a way that was worthy of writing a book, because I made the right decisions. I did the hard things. I made the hard choices. And that can apply to any phase of life, but especially hard phases in challenging times in your career.
Yeah. You know, when I was working with a publisher to do my book, there was a stat he shared with me, and it was something like, and guys, don't hold me to this, I'm paraphrasing, but like 98% of people want to write a book, but only, you know, like 0.5% of people actually do. So when you have something you can be really proud of, it really is just life-changing and amazing. I absolutely love that. So tell me a little bit about the book, because I feel like I was looking all over, like, how can I actually get a physical copy by the time I have my podcast? But tell me a little bit about the book. So if you're a client of mine or a listener on today, you've probably heard me talk about personal, professional, and financial goals. You've heard me talk about leadership. And a lot of that was ingrained in me from the Cardone Ventures team. So if you're looking for tactical strategies to grow and scale your team through people and build teams and implement those systems around goals, teamwork is definitely the book for that. But tell me about the concept around this book.
Yes. So what we find with business owners and leaders, when they're trying to go through this scaling process, they come to us and they're like, I want to grow. I want to be doing something different in 2 years from now or 18 months from now than I'm doing today. The hardest part is, where do I spend the time right now in order to create the person and create the life and create the business that I want in the future? And most business owners feel entirely overwhelmed and stressed with what they already have on their plate. So actually creating time to build the future just doesn't end up happening. And then they don't grow their business year over year. They get the same result consistently. And they actually start to give up on their goals and what the target was to begin with, which is creating this life and this next iteration of what their business looks like. And so the premise of the book is, there is 90% of the book of all of the things that a business should do from an operations standpoint that allow a foundation to be in place for the duplication and scaling process to exist. And then there's 10%. The first 10% starts with, how do you actually address this problem of where you are spending your time as a business owner? Because I can tell you and show you how to create incentive plans, and I can tell you and show you how to create a meeting culture and how to put metrics reporting in place and annual planning in place and resource planning and all of these things that large businesses have to do. And so small businesses should start the practice of doing them very early on. But if I can't overcome where you're spending your time and really understand and have the reader go through this process of evaluating what needs to stop being done, how do I delegate those things? How do I transition those things? And how do I really focus on what my main job is? Then there's no point in reading the rest of the 90% of the book for all of those, like, what feel like not magic bullets. What are those things called? People call it a silver bullet. I want the silver bullet. Like, what is the incentive plan? What is the metrics? What does your reporting look like? I can give that to you, but if we can't work through why you're already not doing those things to begin with, it's going to be a problem. So starting the work is all about what are the things that have to be done and why can't you start the work that has to be done, and assessing and addressing those pieces so that you can really actually spend the time on things that create duplication in a business that allow business owners and leaders to scale out of their roles to become the next iteration of themselves.
Man, when I first heard you talking about that at a workshop, you and Brandon, and breaking down the, I won't go too much off into left field here, but the breakpoints a business goes through in revenue. And I'm like, no, I'm like, that's not me. Like, that's not what's happening. Like, that's not. And sure enough, in the breakpoint that we're in, which is a bracket of certain revenue, it would be the leadership breakpoint, key leadership, right? And how we duplicate ourselves without any help. But why do you think it's so difficult for business owners? Okay, so it's lack of systems and processes, but what else is it that stands in their way with duplication?
I think that they don't know how to remove stuff correctly from their plate. We treat our team members like they're supposed to solve these problems for us. And that's a great expectation. Your team members should help you solve problems that are most valuable to the business. But it's done in almost a hasteful way, where a leader is hiring a new team member and they're just handing over all the stuff and happy that a warm body exists to have that person help out. And there isn't structure to the help. And when the business owner, let's say back when I was responsible for recruiting inside our business, I hired our first stabilized 50 team members. It took me 88 people to find 50 people that were fantastic and aligned with where Cardo Ventures was at the time. When I was doing that recruitment role, all I wanted to do is not be in recruitment any longer. Like, it was such a pain point for me because I wanted to be spending my time doing the things that I needed to do, knowing that our business was going from 18 million in revenue that year to 30 million in revenue that year. But when we hired this recruiter, I wasn't just like, oh, here, recruiter, just figure out how I've been recruiting, figure out all these processes, take this on and like ready, set, go. There was a very clear established process, but the key is, in order to create a clear established process, you can't spend an inordinate amount of time documenting it. And so one of the things I really break down in the book, and was actually just on a coaching call with a client 2 days ago about this, is how do you hack duplicating yourself? How do you use technology so that while you're doing the thing, for me, while I was doing the recruitment process, I could screen record what I was doing and walk the new hire that doesn't exist yet through my process so that I don't then have to go explain it again, ensure that it was heard correctly, then potentially not have that person work out. So then I'm having to retrain a new person. And it's just all exactly how I did it because it was the result that I was able to get. And I'm documenting that exact process. And so when you get that discipline inside a business, it changes everything. Because if the leader's doing that and the leader teaches their leaders how to do that, everybody, while an organization is growing, is documenting what is working because there are metrics in place to know what is working and what's not working. So what's working well gets duplicated, and it allows team members to focus on more important things because there are more important things that have to be worked on as a business grows. But oftentimes they can't find themselves pulling out of the client work. They can't find themselves pulling out of the teamwork because they're stuck without processes.
Man, do you think sometimes that business owners are like almost addicted to like these other tasks, right? They're putting out the fires. They're running around the things we shouldn't be doing. It's almost like an addiction. It's like, you don't feel valuable sometimes when you step out of certain things. I feel like that's often a struggle for me. Do you hear that a lot?
Absolutely. And yeah. The ways that I hold myself accountable, because I'm not some like perfect leader that always works on the right things all the time. There are things that I really love working on. There are things that I avoid working on because I don't like them as much, and they are needed in our organization, but I don't do them. And so my hack for this has always been, if I was to share my calendar with you right now, would you be like, oh, she's working on the right things in the business? And because I think of this constantly, and it's just the frame that I use to put my calendar together, I'm like, yeah, if Grant Cardone ever decided to just pop open Natalie's calendar, he'd be like, shit, she's freaking busy. There's a lot of stuff going on. She's also focused on the future while doing her current role. And business owners, because you are a business owner, you don't have a lot of accountability to where you're spending your time. And so if I was just open your calendar, one of these business owners, it's like, oh, I don't have time to create incentive metrics. I immediately take away that excuse. And I'm like, great, let's pop open your calendar because I'm just looking for 4 hours. This isn't a 20-hour task. This isn't a 100-hour task. And so when you can really get honest with yourself about where you're spending your time and how long things should take, then you just make the time for it. And then you're able to continue to make more time. And this process just compounds because you're really in control of what you're doing. And the things that you don't like to do, you still recognize that if you're serious about growing your business or growing your team, you have to get those things done. And then you just fit it in the most efficient ways possible.
Okay, guys, you heard it first here today. Go over and jump on your calendar and see where you're making excuses, right? Because Natalie and I personally believe, and we try to live out the example of like, you can't have it all. It's what you really make and create time for. So for my job seekers, there's a lot of job seekers that listen to our podcast that feel like they don't have time for certain things. I don't have time for networking. But if you really take a look at your calendar, it would prove otherwise, guys. We have to put ourselves in check sometimes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and just thinking about like, if your goal is to get a job and you want to work at someplace that is fantastic, like you come up with this whole list of everything that you were looking for in the ideal job. What is that business looking for in exchange? They're looking for somebody. If you're really wanting to work at a top company where the culture is great, where the opportunity is immense, then you're looking at, well, who am I in comparison with what that environment looks like? And if I'm not willing to network and yet I'm trying to get my foot in the door at a place that's fantastic, that's built off of networking, of course, that's why I'm not being hired there. So I'm really honest with myself. I do not let myself off the hook when it comes to the excuses that I make, because I make so many excuses, but I'm just not, I can't allow myself to buy into my own excuses. And when you stop lying to yourself about what you want and what you're not willing to do to get there, all of a sudden you at least have clarity. If you really want to be in a great place, it is going to require you to go network, because great people utilize their networks to grow. And that's why a great company would want to hire a great person, is because they know how to do this and they have that skill set. So either you don't really want to work at a great place, that could be an honest question that you should really assess. Like, maybe you're not willing to do what it takes. Maybe other people are actually willing to do more than you are. If that's the case, is it really going to be the fact that you can't get yourself to a networking event that stops you from having this dream of being able to work inside a business that values you and this organization that is the right culture fit for what you're looking for? No, all of a sudden your excuses become ridiculous to not go to the networking event. But that's like the process that I walk myself through when I have a target, when I'm not willing to do the thing or make time for the thing, and really recognizing, oh, the problem is me. It's not the other person, or it's not the business.
Absolutely. And the 10X environment will do this to you, by the way, guys, what she's saying. It's constantly about defining who you want to become and start to be and fill those gaps. Like, what am I doing now that's so different from who I want to become? Let's go. Like, no more excuses. Love that. So I did want to ask you, this is sort of like a selfish question. I just want to know we'll share it with the audience. So what year you started and how many team members you had, and then what you're on track for this year, like revenue wise, and how many team members you have now? Like, we got to know.
Yes. Well, 5 years ago, we launched this business. It was 2019. And it was myself, my husband, Grant Cardone, and Elena Cardone. We co-founded this business. We had no team members. We had no revenue. And fast forward to today, we have 330 team members across our core business and our health business that we are majority owners of. And this year we'll do over $200 million in annual revenue.
Let's go.
So there's been wild growth, but we started the business with the intention of having this growth and figuring out, how do we create an environment where great people want to work alongside us, where we have a huge vision and a lot of problems that are going to need to be solved between now and then. And it's kind of this funny thing because we're operating this business. We are not perfect in the way that we operate this business. And we teach business owners how to operate their businesses better. And so part of our process of transparency is saying, hey, this was the set of decisions that we make. We are highly accountable to the decisions or the wrong decisions, right or wrong, and need your feedback in the process so that we can actually hit the target. And I find when you are really clear on your target, whether that's starting a business, whether that's getting a job, and you don't allow yourself to just listen to these are the reasons that you shouldn't do it, or this is why I can't have the thing. And you're just asking for feedback. Hey, for the business that said no to you and didn't move forward, that you were really excited about being able to join, why didn't you move forward with me? I don't know if you guys recommend doing this, but every single time we reject a candidate and they reach out and ask why, mm-hmm. I am writing two paragraphs of this is what we were looking for. This is why we chose somebody else. This is what we would recommend that you do next time, or maybe even apply again in a few months to go get this experience. Because I think that it's so valuable to actually ask for feedback, which is what we do with our clients. And for you, if you're a candidate looking for a job, that's what you should be doing to the business. Hey, why didn't you hire me? And if you do it in a way that isn't make wrong for the business, but you're really trying to learn, you will find that you will likely get a high percentage of people who are willing to give you honest feedback in order to help you get to what your target is.
Yeah, every time I advise somebody to do that and they get bold enough to send that email to get the feedback, it's always very helpful and insightful, and always serves them in the job search. Like I find that most organizations are willing to cooperate with that. So if you're a job seeker listening and you keep bombing interviews, we'll definitely head over to execupgrades.com/podcast and book a call with our team so we can really uncover why and put you through our interview certification process so you can become better armed for curveballs. But if you're bombing interview after interview after interview, asking for feedback is something you should certainly be doing. Mm-hmm. With some stories that you've shared, that I've heard you share, Natalie, you weren't always this way, right? You weren't always as confident, right? And it's something that you work on every day. But tell me, what's a one key action that you remember putting in place to develop a more resilient, positive, confident mindset? And a lot of our listeners, again, like, come to us specifically because they are insecure and they're beat up and not feeling great. It's rare I have someone come into our environment and they're like, yes, I love my job. Everything's amazing. You know, it's usually the opposite of that. But what are some things that you did to develop a better mindset?
I got really clear on who I wanted to be. And I am one of those people that when I was very young, probably 12 years old, I would imagine after watching The Devil Wears Prada, like having this vision of my life where that opening scene was my life. Like the women that are shown are just really confident. And in the morning they have like, they put on makeup, and this is like a little ridiculous, but they have like matching lingerie and they walk into these buildings with their high heels and like they're fully put together. And I remember watching that growing up and thinking, that's what I want my life to look like. I don't know how I get there. I have no clear path. I don't know if I'm running a business, if I'm a team member in a business, like all of that wasn't baked in. But what I saw was the type of woman and leader that I was going to become and how my life looked. And so I was always really clear that I wanted to have confidence, but for very long, probably until I was 26, which wasn't that many years. That was only 5 years ago.
Well, by the way, hang on, let me pause you there. I get a lot of listeners that are, I'm too old, I'm too young. So I have to pause here. Natalie, can you share with us your age? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm 31. And I used to have the I'm too young excuse. I haven't had the I'm too old excuse yet, but that will come, I'm sure, and not too far in the future. But I had this hack just on this age thing. I will never forget sitting in this conference room. I was probably 26, probably around this time, maybe a little bit before, 25 years old, really was not confident in myself. Did not feel like I had the skills that I wanted or the experience that I wanted. And I was not the person that I am today, who does feel confident walking into a room and explaining who I am and why I'm there. And the moment where every single person goes around the room and introduces themselves came. And that has always been my most dreaded part of any networking event, any meeting, because when it finally gets to you, you've just been nervous. You're not even paying attention to what anybody else is saying. You're just, I was nervous the entire time. And I was like, I don't even know what to say. So I'm waiting for all these people to talk and all of them have this great experience. Every single person in the room is 25 years older plus than me. And I realized two people before it got to me, it's like, wait a second, instead of using this age thing as I don't have experience and I don't have anything to talk about, what if that is my angle? Like, what if me being young and being a millennial and having this perspective, because it was a technology play, it's like, that's the angle. I just have to use that to say, yeah, I'm 25. This is what I do and understand about the social media space. This is where I see trends going. And all of a sudden, that's my reason for being there. And so whether you are old, young, male, female, whatever it is, like, use who you are as the angle for why it makes sense for you to be there, for you to have your pitch. And you can't compare yourself to somebody who has more experience than you. My husband has 25 years more experience than me. I am not my husband, but I am me. I am a woman in business. I am a 31-year-old in business. I have this different vantage point that if I really own that, he's never going to talk about what's happening on TikTok. Like, that's never going to be something that he's going to advise or give strategy around. So how do I, in preparation for meetings, use the fact that I might be insecure about something as actually that's my superpower. And that's what makes me different and unique in the room. If I had the additional 25 years of experience, I wouldn't be me. I would be somebody else. And I'm not somebody else. I'm me at this moment in time.
Okay, guys, you hear me say that every week, and now you've heard it from an expert. Any situation can be used and branded as an advantage. So it's an important thought to overcome. So I want to be mindful of your time. So let's do some quick fire about the book specifically.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it. So if somebody was feeling super inspired and they're wanting to start this work, but also having trouble like getting started doing so, what do you recommend?
I would recommend they open up their calendar and they commit very specific times to doing the things that they want to do. If you are not working out and you want to start working out, you open your calendar and you actually commit with time and energy. And ideally you put money down to make an investment in the thing that you're wanting, because it's going to force you to show up to that commitment. The things that you show up to are likely because you've paid for those things. You go to your apartment at night. Why? Because you already paid rent there. You don't go to somebody else's house because you didn't pay their rent. You paid your rent. We show up to a gym, not just any random gym on a morning. We show up to the gym that we actually pay for. So when I open up my calendar and I see that I have zero time spent on the thing that I'm trying to become, why am I delusional enough to think that I'm going to become that person? I'm not spending any time doing activities that are in alignment with that thing. So choose your motivation. It's fantastic that you're motivated, but then actually transition that motivation to, this is the time I'm going to spend doing that thing. I'm going to create the time to do that and prioritize it over everything else and do that very consistently until I get the result I'm looking for.
Yeah. And would you agree that day in and day out, it's not always the sexy stuff, guys? Like, it's mostly the things you don't want to do. And then it's the repetition of doing the things you don't want to do and showing up for yourself and keeping, you know, the promises that you made to yourself. That's really what builds confidence.
Over and over again. That's what builds confidence, is doing those things. But my talk track to myself when I don't want to do the thing, whether it's creating an incentive plan or it's responding to these emails or doing some sort of outreach or networking, I think to myself, is the better version of Natalie, who actually gets what she wants, willing to do this thing? Every time I'm like, of course, like, A plus Natalie is willing to do whatever it takes. So am I really not willing to do what it takes to get there? And it's, of course, like, I overcome my own objection because I'm like, yes, I am willing to do whatever it takes. So I'm going to do this thing. And if networking or sending emails or staying up late was a thing that was going to stop me, is that really what I'm going to allow to stop me? And if it is, then you don't really want it bad enough. And then if you don't really want it bad enough, you should use my other talk track, which is, why are you being so selfish? If I become successful, if I overcome my limitations, if I overcome my lack of self-confidence, I can never impact you. I can never impact the thousands of women or the tens of thousands of women or the millions of women that might have the same story that I have, but they never know that they could do it because I'm not living an example in a way where I can communicate that I did these right actions and that they can do it too. So you just have to find these ways of motivating yourself where you're honest with where you want to go. You're really real with not living up to the excuses and the stuff that other people have maybe placed on you, labels they might have placed on you. If you want to help people, if you want to be able to create the life that you want, you just have to be unwilling to accept that you're going to not do the actions that are going to get you there. And you have to take those action steps and make that movement forward.
Absolutely. And the world is waiting for you guys. Like, the world needs you guys to step into that power. And the Meryl Streep character, we know she wasn't going to settle. It's so funny. That's come up like three times this week.
Really?
I think it was a guest actually on Elena's podcast was talking about this. Like, whether you liked or loved or hated that character, she was confident. Mm-hmm. I grew up with that as well. Okay. And so you talk about 97% of businesses fail in the first 10 years because they can't master this duplication needed. Mm-hmm. What would you tell a hopeful business owner or leader in an organization even that are just afraid to fail, especially with those kind of odds stacked against them?
Well, the odds are only odds because those people chose to quit. If they didn't choose to quit, they wouldn't be part of a statistic. And so you just have to ask yourself, forget what Bob and Susie and Sally and Joe were willing to do, give up on themselves, give up on their dreams. Am I willing to give up on my dreams? No. So I'm not going to be a statistic, because it's not because of a statistic that those businesses failed. It's because somebody made a choice to not pay attention to the right things, to get the right customer feedback, to fix what's not working. If you're applying to a job, like, if you're not getting the job, there is something that you are doing incorrectly. It's just a fact. If somebody was doing something different and presented something different or had a different level of experience, was able to communicate their value proposition in a different way, they would be able to get the job. But because you're not getting the job, you can't just be like, nobody, you know, most people get laid off in life. Well, people who get laid off and don't have work that's sustainable and they don't fix it is because at some point they made the decision to stop fixing themselves and improving and using real feedback in 2024 to get themselves better. And so I don't think that those statistics should be used as like a way for somebody to think this is bound to happen and it's very unlikely that I'm going to be successful. They should be looked at as somebody else chose to stop moving their business forward. And that's an indication to me of they just didn't listen to their customer. Even if you started a marketing agency and you're like, oh, my marketing agency failed because it was all in print media. Well, okay. How could you just learn how to do email marketing? Or how could you learn how to do funnels? You still could have kept a marketing business, but it was because you decided to stop taking feedback and allow change to happen around you in the marketplace that then you capitalized on and created a business around that really solved people's problems. I'm just such a huge proponent of, if you are focused on solving people's problems and not thinking of yourself and your stories and what holds you back, and you put all of your energy and attention on how do I solve this company's problem? How do I solve my leader's problem? How do I solve my team members' problem? How do I solve my client's problem? You'll get to where you want to go. But if you focus on yourself and you make it all about you and you make it all in your head, then of course you're not going to get to where you want to go, because you're not actually adding value to anybody else. And especially you're not adding value to yourself.
So I know I can't be the only one curious now. So we work mainly with directors, VPs, and executives. What are some things that your executives have done? Okay, we know we need them to solve problems and have a great value proposition, but what are some things that have blown you away in an interview where you're like, this is it, like, this is the person? What are some things that you really look for in your top performers?
I look for somebody who is confident in the experience that they have and what they bring to the table, while recognizing that they've never done what we are trying to do and we need help in solving future problems. And so when they can communicate that really well in an interview, actually, I just have a resume of somebody that we interviewed just yesterday. This candidate was super confident in all the experience that she brings to the table, but she doesn't come in saying, I know everything and I'm going to be the person that solves all the problems here. She has the confidence to know that she can solve those problems, but she recognizes that she has to really understand what the problems are. Our business's accounting department is very different than she actually used to work at P.F. Chang. I had no idea P.F. Chang is a $1.1 billion company.
Oh, wow.
It said on her resume. And this was many years ago that she worked there. But our business is very different than P.F. Chang's at a $1.1 billion business. We don't sell chow mein and fried rice. Totally different business. So, but yet she ran the accounting department of a business. So there's expertise there, but there's also a humility in saying and acknowledging, I don't know what Cardone Ventures does. I will learn what Cardone Ventures does. And I want to be developed by a leader who is interested in my success. And when she said those things outside of just the resume and experience, it was like, okay, this is the right person, because that's the same position that I'm in. I don't have all of the answers, but I'm willing to learn, and I want to be coached and led and given feedback from the people inside my environment.
So the person was confident, had the data as far as like numbers goes, different industry, humility, and a cultural and core value alignment. Like that's really what went well. Mm-hmm. Okay, amazing. Okay, lastly is Natalie, how can our listeners stay more active in your community so they can learn more about who Natalie is outside of work and make sure they get their hands on this book?
Well, they could follow me on Instagram. I'm the most active on Instagram and TikTok. And the book is still in pre-order right now, but the pre-order is ridiculous because there's two full training courses. Most people just put one training course in a book pre-launch, and we did two full training courses plus the downloadable of the book. And that's all going to be sold when the book launches for thousands of dollars, but we are giving it away as part of a thank you for people who do pre-order. So you can go to cardoneventures.com/startthework to get the pre-order.
Amazing. And guys, Christy did put that link in the comments to make it super easy for you. Well, thank you for joining me. We definitely took a lot of insights, a lot to unpack, great reminders. And I can't wait to see you next time. I'll probably see you. When will I see you? I guess 10X Ladies.
Okay. Oh, I just talked to Elena minutes before this started, and we are very excited about the 10X Ladies event. There's going to be some awesome speakers. I'm a huge fan of Lauren Bostick with the Skinny Confidential and how she's built that brand. And anyway, I'm super excited to go to 10X Ladies and see all the 10X Ladies and hear from the incredible speakers that she's putting together. It's going to be an incredible event.
Awesome. If you're a lady or man, head on over and get your ticket to that in Miami in August. It's going to be like a 5-day extravaganza for me because it's the Design Your Life Mastermind and the 10X Ladies Club and all the things. So 5 days of transformation. Also, guys, that was a key action of Natalie's and mine, was investing in yourself and continued education always. So we love you, and I'll see you all soon. Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay.